Today's feast of the baptism of the Lord marks the end of our Christmas season. And at first it might seem a little strange that this is the feast that culminates Christmas. After all, it seems like just a few weeks ago we were celebrating the birth of Jesus as a little baby, and now today he's all grown up and he's 30 years old. That's a good reminder that Christmas is not a time that we reenact or celebrate chronologically just Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, but the whole mystery of what Christmas is all about. You know, today we see Jesus coming to John to be baptized. And of course, we know that Jesus himself obviously had no sin and had no need of a baptism for repentance, but rather out of great humility, Jesus comes to John, as he says, to fulfill all righteousness. Now, the church fathers have often written that rather than the waters making Jesus holy, as would normally happen in baptism, rather Jesus makes the waters holy and opens up the spring of baptism for the church for all time to come. But I think also in a fitting way, the humility of Jesus in his baptism today speaks of really what Christmas is all about. The great central mystery of Christmas is that God is with us, Emmanuel. But even more than that, God is one of us. As we read on Christmas morning in the beautiful Gospel of St. John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became one of us. And as St. Paul tells us, he became like us in everything but sin. God loved us so much that he wanted to come right down in the midst of the muck of humanity and take it on himself and live with us, to live our life. And that means that Jesus experienced everything that we did. That last line in the Gospel today, Jesus comes up out of the water and hears the voice of the Father. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, in Jesus' divinity, we might question, did Jesus really need to hear that? I mean, didn't he know that, of course, he's the beloved Son of the Father? How could Jesus ever forget that? But taking on our humanity, how much I think we can see that every child, every son would want to hear the voice of the Father saying, "You are my beloved one. I am well pleased with you." Sometimes we forget Jesus' humanity. But that's the great beauty of Christmas, that he is one of us. I think many of us can relate to that great desire to know that we are loved, loved by our parents, that we are pleasing. You know, Jesus in his ministry, which he begins today in his baptism, he goes about, and there are many great and joyful times in his public ministry. Jesus, no doubt, would have been joyful as he preached the gospel and saw thousands of people coming. Perhaps he would have remembered back to this day of his baptism to hear the Father saying again to him, "I am pleased. Well done, Jesus. Everyone is coming to hear the gospel." As Jesus went around healing people, no doubt the Father was also well pleased in his beloved Son. But even in the difficult times, and certainly if Jesus is one of us, part of our human condition is that it's not all mountaintop experiences. Jesus, too, would have felt frustration. He would have been tempted, perhaps, to despair or even give up. Now, Jesus in his divinity, of course, would never give in to such temptation, but he felt it very much in his humanity. When things were going wrong, he felt frustrated just the way we do. Jesus was one of us, and so especially at those difficult times, perhaps Jesus would have questioned, "Gosh, am I getting through? Am I making a difference? These people, they don't seem to get it." He was frustrated with his own apostles. When he tried to teach them about the Eucharist, it says most of his disciples left. Those are the moments when Jesus perhaps would have most needed to reach way back to his baptism and remember, no, God is pleased. The Father loves him to remember his identity, that it's not in the success of his preaching or not. It's in being a beloved son. Of course, at no greater moment was that necessary to remember than on the cross. That moment when Jesus would have been most subjected to the temptations of the devil to say, your father does not love you, your father has given up on you. Jesus would have had to reach way back to his baptism and hear once again the voice of the Father saying to him, even on the cross, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. The Father didn't abandon Jesus. In fact, never was he more pleased with his beloved son than when Jesus laid down his life out of love for you and me. Our baptism has got to be also the root of our identity. Because we go through all these ups and downs of our human condition, we too are tempted at times to say, gosh, does God hear me? Does God care about me? Is he really a father who loves me? Why does he allow all this pain and suffering? Why does he allow all this to go on? Our identity has got to go back to our baptism. When God first said to us, no, you are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter, and you I am well pleased. You see, our identity cannot ever come from how much money we make, or what job we have, or how successful we are, or what car we drive. It can't come from whether we're feeling good or feeling bad. Our identity has got to be grounded in our baptism, when we became the adopted son or daughter of God. You know, I have on my wall a picture of the day of my baptism. And I look at that picture and I see there's my mom holding me over the font, and Father Carl is just pouring the water on my head. And especially when I get down, I can look at that picture and remember, that's who I am. I am a beloved son of God, and that's when God claimed me as his own. And I look at that as I do whenever I baptize a little infant, and you can't help but notice that the little baby can't do anything for themselves. My mom had to do everything for me, to even bring me to God in baptism. We are not God's son and daughters because we have earned it or done anything, and there's nothing we can do to lose it. We are the beloved sons and daughters of God because of his choice. That is ultimately what we celebrate this Christmas. That although we had no claim on God, our only claim was our sinfulness and our neediness of his mercy, Jesus became one of us. He shared everything in our life. He needed to hear the voice of the Father. And so how much more do we need to hear and remember the voice of the Father? So on this feast of the baptism of the Lord, perhaps there is no more fitting conclusion to the celebration of that season when God became one of us, to know that in whatever state we are today, however we find ourselves, high, low, up and down, no matter where we're at, today we reach back to that moment of our baptism and hear once again the voice of the Father telling us, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. In you, I am well pleased.